I want to begin to minister to you, thank you, about a topic called Built to Last. Say, Built to Last.
Built to Last.
And the song is powerful. It's a good song, exciting song. But maybe some people, and I never want to assume, that's why I'm taking my moment right now to tap into this, by the Lord asked me to do this. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness. But some people don't feel like that's happened in their life, that God's promises are not standing in their life, that he's not faithful to them. Next slide, please. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. And some may say, well, somehow you weren't there, God. This happened to me. I understand how some may feel that way, maybe watching online. Maybe that's why you watch online. Some of you on a regular basis because you're not comfortable going to church because it hasn't worked for you yet. You never failed me. Well, God, I cried out. I asked you to do something and it didn't work. We want to answer that and other questions you may be asking God today and through this month of teaching. Built to last. Say, built to last.
Built to last.
You see, the life that God has for every believer, every Christian, can be summarized in one passage. That's St. John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where we get our name Zoe from. It says, the thief, Satan, he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. So by definition, anything that comes to steal from you, kill, and to destroy is not from God. Amen. Now, we know in our current state, even we Christians, we won't live forever in this current state, so we'll die. That's going to happen. But I'm talking about premature death, not living a long life, like 80, 90, or more years. For the Bible says, days of our lives should be 70. A score is 20. 60. 10 is 70. Or 80, at least that, or 120. There are many more people these days living over 100 years old.
Amen.
I wonder how many of them are Christians, though. We have to understand some things. And so I want to share with you about being built to last. Say, built to last.
Built to last.
And for us to enjoy this abundant life that Jesus came to give us, that you may have life, Zoe. That's where we get our name, Zoe. Zoe means the kind of life that God, only God can give you. It's not temporary. It's powerful, wonderful life. It's not just eternal life. It is abundant life. And you live that on earth. You start living it on earth, this abundant life. But we have to grow into it, y'all. We have to grow into this abundant life. What I mean by that is not that it's like you got to chase it, run after it. No. It's there. We have to grow and learn how to tap into it. That's what I mean by growing into it. It's like our children. You know, they're maybe 5 years old. They got to grow into the possibilities in America. Mm-hmm. I'm going to side over here. They have to grow. They don't want to read. They don't want to do no homework at 6 and 7 and 8. Right. They got to grow into it.
Amen.
Yeah. They don't want to read and do no math and 8. You know, they don't want to. They got to grow into it. To tap into the possibilities in this earth, because it requires knowledge and understanding and maturity. How much more spiritually speaking in your life? Say, I have to grow into it.
I have to grow into it.
And one of the biggest changes we all have to deal with in our lives is change. Mm-hmm. But we're designed not to just change on a dime. But the challenge is that we have to, because many of us come to Christ at a place where not having an ideal, even though it was a Christian, an ideal Christian environment or no Christian environment that's based on the Word of God, you come to God and you have all these ideas, these beliefs, these experiences, and you come to God that way. And if we're not careful, we kind of like a basket full of stuff and beliefs and ideas and perspectives, and then we go to hear a sermon and we add that to our basket. I like this. I add that to my basket. No, I don't like that. I'm not going to add that to my basket right now. Not ready for that. Well, if you live life that way as a Christian, you're not following the biblical pattern. The biblical pattern is that you become transformed.
Amen.
It's like a caterpillar that's limited, crawling, can easily be stepped on by people walking by in their life, and get transformed into a beautiful butterfly. Mm-hmm. And that word transform in the Greek is the word where we get our word metamorphosis. Mm-hmm. A metamorphosis. A caterpillar, if you would, transforms into a beautiful butterfly that's free, fly high, colorful, go wherever he wants to go. That's the life God promised you. Amen. If you're not careful, if we don't understand some of the things we're going to talk about this month and start today, then that's so far-reaching. And then we get discouraged. And we wonder why some people walk away from God. They didn't get an understanding. For many of us who've tapped in and begin to get a better understanding and grow in some areas in their lives, I don't care what happens in your life, you not walk away from God. Can I get a witness over here? Because God has already, you already tasted and seen that the Lord is good. So if you miss it in a little area, you're not going to blame God for that. You're going to say, Ed, get it together. I know God's good. But if you haven't matured to a level, and when I say mature, I'm not trying to put you down, but grown in a level where you can appreciate and get where it's working for you. Where it's working for you. That's the issue. You got to be working. And you got to work it. You got to work it. It don't work on its own. In fact, if you are relying upon what you get out of a sermon like today, or even a Bible study, or what you see on TV, you're not getting enough. You're not getting what you needed. You got to dig deep on your own. You got to dig. Solomon wrote a wonderful book called Proverbs. He talks about wisdom. But he said you got to go after. You got to seek after it. God says in Hebrews that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not casually. What are you going to say today, God? You know what? You don't want it. When you want it, you knocking. Are you following me? And so it's that steps of development where you grow, you'll grow and mature, and then you start laying aside some things. My son Josh, I mentioned a few weeks ago, we mentioned, quoted 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, but it pointed out there that when I was a child, I understood as a child, thought as a child, spoke as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, we put it away. We ask God to take stuff from us. No, you need to stop doing it. Admit it and quit it. Amen. I'm going to go on the side over here. Amen. God, God, take him out of my life. No, get him out of your phone book, okay? You know he's not good for you. Or she, when she calls, you just go, okay. No, y'all stop today. We have to get an appropriate perspective, and that's the purpose of what I'm sharing today. And we'll continue on. And God's going to take us to a good place, a better place. Amen. That's what the prophecy was about. He's been talking to us. Here in in Luke chapter 6. Say, built the last.
Built the last.
Yeah. I want to last you all. Not just like, I'm going to still believe in you. No, last and thrive. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Right. It ought to get better and better and better. But it only happens when you keep growing and growing and growing. You can't just plateau.
Amen.
If you only plateau it in terms of knowledge at the second grade, then you probably don't read too well. Don't know much about math too well. But you got some education, but you plateaued. You got to keep growing until you go be with Jesus.
Amen.
Because we can't exhaust the Bible.
Amen.
There's plenty life in there, insight. Plus, the reality is some stuff I need to stop doing. I'm not ready to do that right now. It's me, in a funk. But then I begin to grow, and I start, okay, look there, that side, I'm growing. I'm starting, okay, God, you can have that too.
Yeah.
Okay, you can have, okay, I'm going to stop being nicer and kinder. You can have that too. Are you following me?
Yeah.
It's a process. And you go as fast as you want. But you know what? We have to do it.
Amen.
We have to do it.
That's right.
And God works with you. He has mercy upon you as long as you keep walking with him.
Yeah.
But herein, Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them. Say, hears my words and does them. Notice he says, comes to me. You got to come to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we get an idea that God, you just, if you want to help me, you know, fix it. You know what? You got to come to him.
Amen.
And one way you come to him is to read his Bible, the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Through your intercession time of prayer. But prayer is not as always asking God for stuff. It's listening to God speak to you.
Amen.
In fact, the biggest value of prayer is listening to what you're asking for and then what he wants to say you didn't ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Because we only see and receive what God has for us that we can think to ask him for. We miss half our life.
Amen.
So all that is part of the time and growing and give God time. Sometimes it's just, you're in a chair in a quiet place and you don't hear nothing for 15, 20 minutes. And they say, Lord, I'm here for you. And all of a sudden he starts talking to you, start writing things down. But you come to him, say come to him. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. Okay? He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the what? Rock. Laid the foundation on the rock. Rock is solid, protected. And when a flood came, arose, and a stream broke against the house and could not shake it. Say, could not shake it. Say that again.
Could not shake it.
Wait a minute. It said it kind of wailed. It didn't shake.
Amen.
Wow. Wouldn't that be nice to live your life and you're not shaking at all?
Amen.
I recall it was when we first started our church. Before then, I was involved in an investment, and I was part of a computer company, raised money, and I invested money, but the company went out of business. And so we had all these leases we had a computer store in Torrance, and we had all this money we owed these various financial companies, and so we had to pay it back, and I had to pay my portion back, and somebody else's portion, too. So anyway, and I recall talking to a Christian lawyer friend of mine about the stuff I was dealing with. I wasn't dumping on this. He's asking questions. I said, well, I'm doing this and doing that. And I shared, what? He said, I can't believe you're going through all that. I have no idea. Well, I'm not wearing it on my face, my friend. I'm trusting God.
Amen.
God's my source. IRS is going after me. But God handled all of that. Amen. Took a few years, though. And I'm pastoring this church, starting out in Cerritos. Teaching folks the word and the faith and trust God. And devil's on my back. But I wouldn't waver, though.
Amen. Amen.
And this is the key. You have to learn to not waver. You don't not waver because, I don't, like I said, I know I will. I know I can. I know. No, you got to know how to stand strong.
Amen.
I recall when I got fired from a corporate company, living in Linwood, my wife and my little family. Naomi wasn't born then. And so, I had no job. And so what I did, based on what I was taught and doing, I said, Lord, I'm walking in front of my garage and on Las Flores Boulevard in Linwood, in front of my house. I said, Lord, you're faithful.
Amen.
And I'm a tither. I'm looking to you, Lord God, and I'm pacing in front of my house. It wasn't a week before I got one of the best jobs at that time in my entire life. Not just a job, but it was a corporate job, all kind of corporate benefits. And then they moved me to Cerritos. They paid for that. That wasn't part of the plan, but that's what they did. Because I'm trusting God. Say, trusting God. And so when you learn these things, you apply them in your life. And every area of your life, even when you have challenges with your honey, you gotta believe God. Make it better and better and better. Or else you're shaking. Oh, she hurt my feelings. Well, okay, I apologize. And she accepts it. As opposed to, you got, no, I'm going to let you stew for a while. You got to grow in some areas. Say, grow in some areas.
Grow in some areas.
Verse 48. And he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose and the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been what? Well built. Come on, talk to him. Come on. Well built. Now, we like stuff well built.
Amen.
We like physical buildings well built. We like ladies well built. Okay, I'm sorry. We like men real well built. All right, stop. You in church, stop that. Say, well built.
Well built.
But you have to build it. The Bible says we are workers together with God.
Yes.
Not God doing all the work for us. Workers together with God. Faith works. Faith does. When God, you pray to God, he gives you instructions, you do that.
Amen?
But then 49. But the one who hears and does not do them, I know nobody hears like that, is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. Hold on. Just on the ground. We had early on in our marriage, we had a few camping days. The first lady got dew on her. She said, "I don't go back to no more." And that dew got on me, or the wet. But I can imagine just having your little tent in your sleeping bag, and it don't take much for a stream to come by and wash, get you all wet, and wash you down the way, because you're just on the ground, you're on the dirt. But you got a foundation built on top of that. That's built properly. It can endure the stream and the rush of the water. Are you following me? So God's making an example illustration for you. Whether you realize it or not, you're building a house. You're building a life for yourself. And God refers to that as a house. That's where you live, where you reside. Everything about you is in that. Everything that's important to you is in your life. Are you following me? And you're building it every day of the year. So the question is, what am I building it on? Will it be shaken or will it be destroyed? I'm talking about your life house, not the physical house. Your life house. Because things will happen. Storms will come. But will it shake your faith? I know when, you know, we haven't gone through much, you say, "Well, we sing this song. I love you, Lord. I'll do anything for you." Okay. Then one of your loved ones passed away, you were close to, or something, a tragedy happened in somebody's life, something happens in your life. Sometimes we blame God for stuff, but it wasn't his fault. We opened the door, it wasn't him. The devil stole. He's a thief.
Yes, he is.
The fact he's called a thief means he takes stuff that don't belong to him. It belonged to you.
Yes.
Like your marriage. It belonged to you, your money. It belonged to you, your career. It belonged to you. Are you following me?
Yes.
He's a thief.
Yes,
he is. But we got to keep the thief out. And as I was sharing in the communion, one way to keep him out is resist him.
Yes.
When you see any signs of him trying to show up, you resist him. And learning how to do that is part of the growth process. Because, again, going back to people having difficulty to change, but you have to change to grow. Mm-hmm. And you have to grow to walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it again. So you got to get a good mindset about change, because you have to change to grow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you have to grow to walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're not growing with God in our own walk, God turned the corner. You're going down the street, because you haven't learned to grow enough, to mature enough to have your attention on him,
mm-hmm,
or do it his way. And God doing something else. Say, walk with God. So change should not be a bad thing. In fact, you ought to implement change. You ought to be on the cutting edge of change in your life. Not waiting for bad stuff to happen. I'm going to run to God and go to Bible study and go to church now. No, go on when it's going good.
Amen.
Grow deeper. Say, grow deeper.
Grow deeper. Amen.
So the life that God has for us, we have to grow into it.
Amen.
Say, grow into it.
Grow into it.
But it said, without a foundation, when the streams broke against it, immediately, say immediately, it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I may have my share this later, maybe not today, but some personal, more personal things. Unless we gotta make it personal. It's not just me, but a lot of people in our church also. But I'll share my own personal business about how God blocked stuff and how God helped and how God came through. We're not perfect. I haven't arrived. I'm still growing, my friend. But unless we get to a place, we got some kind of working level of this walking with God, or the devil not eating your lunch every other week. And I know it's not most of you, but some of you, a lot of you are new, and I want to encourage you. And some of us are been around for a while, but we can go another level now. And one of another level is teaching others also.
Amen.
Say, teaching others also.
Teaching others also.
By the mere fact you're teaching, you're getting it sharper yourself. Sharper yourself at teaching others also. Say, teaching others also.
Teaching others also.
Because when you're not willing to teach others also, God says, "Well, I want to give you more, but you want to keep it all to yourself. So I'm going to give you too much more because part of me, my teaching, my word is to teach others also. And you don't want to do that, so I can't give you too much more because you don't want to teach others also. Because God has an objective. He wants to impact people's lives.
Amen.
Beyond us. Amen. So teaching others also helps us grow and receive more of what God has for us. If your life and legacy is going to be built to last, your foundation must be built upon embracing the spirit of forgiveness. Read it out loud with me, please. And it's going to be built to last. Your foundation must be built upon embracing the spirit of forgiveness. Say it loud one more time. I'll talk more about this area next time, but this is so huge. I've been pastoring for 30 plus years, been in ministry for about almost 40 years, serving in some capacity. And I tell you, my friend, to have the abundant life, it's all about how you relate to people. Relate to God, he's a person, but then human beings in your life. And forgiveness is the biggest showstopper of potential and purpose. Or when we lost a lot. You made some progress, but because of this area we're going to talk about, we lose a lot. Why? We give place to the enemy. We give place to the enemy. It wasn't God. We give place, and the devil gets in and does stuff to us, and we're God's people. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Write it down. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And then the next verse says, because they rejected knowledge. Now, nobody in their right mind does it overtly. They just don't have time for that. I can do it later. It doesn't come too much later. They rejected knowledge. Peter says, 1 Peter talks about, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace, a lot of it through the knowledge of God.
Hallelujah.
Through the knowledge of God. So you can't rely upon what you hear on Sunday and get all you need. You got to dig for on your own.
Amen.
If all you are dependent upon to grow and enjoy this abundant life and sing this song with us, that's why some folk walk out, it ain't working, Bishop. You know, that Zoe stuff don't work. It's not the Zoe stuff, it's God stuff. But I know what people mean. That church down there, I'm about abundant life and promises and blessed. And he's faithful and all that. No, it does work.
Amen.
We have to learn to apply it and grow.
Amen.
And some of it is let some stuff aside.
Mm-hmm.
Say, let it aside.
Lay it aside.
So here in Matthew chapter 18, I suggest you read the entire chapter. In fact, this book, I suggest you Get and Read by Jack Hayford. It's the Living the Spirit Form Life. Powerful, powerful. He outlines 10 areas. Some of them we'll address in this teaching. But I want to encourage you because he deals with this area of forgiveness in a very insightful way. And God has revealed some things to me in the same area, and I'll be sharing another author that really provides some insight. And it's just like, it's powerful. It's what's needed. Because if we don't understand the area of forgiveness, the spirit of forgiveness. Because if we don't have the spirit of forgiveness, we got some other spirit working in us.
Yeah.
If we don't have the spirit of forgiveness, it's another spirit, and that's not of God.
Amen.
But it may be how we grew up, how mom and dad or auntie handled situations, but it wasn't forgiveness. That's another spirit.
Yeah.
So Jesus provides some beautiful insight here. Verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you and go and tell him his fault between you. Some of y'all like doing that piece. But some people don't want to do it. They don't like conflict and all that. But you can do it. You have to learn to do it properly. Can we sit down and talk, please? Is that okay? Can I just buy you lunch, coffee? Can we just talk? Have some small talk first. We're going to talk about that, how to do this stuff. You know what? I need to talk to you. No, just relax. No, don't do that. Just let it kind of talk about the weather and whatever, you know, and how the kids doing, the friends, and how school and so forth. And then kind of gradually come up to the conversation, maybe half an hour or so later. And then it's easing in there and you talk about it. And say, I love you. You know I love you, but can we talk about what happened? Okay. Tell him his fault between you and him alone. Say alone.
Alone.
Don't tell all your friends first. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Say, gain my brother.
Gain my brother.
Oh, God. You have gained your brother. God don't call it loss. He call it gain.
Amen.
God. Gain. It's a benefit when you gain. So when you go and he receives or she receives, you gain something. Sometimes when we don't understand this, we think we gain by walking away and let it stew and not be good. No, you lost. There's a gain there. Yeah. You gain your brother. There's value in that relationship. More than what you can ever imagine. I got a call from someone just yesterday. Haven't talked to them probably about at least 2 years or more. Left our church. Had some issues. I understand. We talked before they left and all that, but it's issues. Didn't see eye to eye on some things. How we do things in the church and what have you. And I respect that. They called me yesterday. First they text, can we talk, Bishop or Pastor? Said, yeah, we talk. Call me right then. Beautiful. Beautiful. What's so powerful about it, we didn't even go over the stuff that was a concern. We just act like it wasn't there, and it grew. It's powerful. Powerful. Talked about how what they're doing, what I'm doing, and how we can do stuff together, and I can help them. Powerful. I'll be out there soon, Bishop, and we'll hook up great. If I would have heard the text, I'm ignoring the text. You know what? I don't like the way you left. You know what? Gain, say gain.
Gain. Hallelujah.
See, God is so powerful in the way he thinks and operates. And I realize in my life, sometimes the people who God's going to bless you, use to bless you the most and be a blessing to your life most are folk you get mad at. And now they become closer than a brother. Oh, yeah. But if we don't handle the forgiveness piece biblically, then what you prayed about can't even come because it comes through the person. God already decided it's going to come through him, your brother-in-law, not him. In fact, this chapter, in fact, let me give you the pages in this book. No, this is serious. It's page 71 and through 83. This whole section by Jack Harper talking about you want to read, but read that section first in his book. Living the Spirit Form Life by Jack Harper, one of my spiritual fathers, wonderful man.
Amen.
That he began to really get a breakthrough when he studied Matthew 18 further, to begin to renew a relationship and heal a relationship with his brother-in-law. He tried to be nice to him. He thought, felt he gave him the cold shoulder. Wasn't, you know, he and his wife got married, and, you know, he wasn't really nice, and, you know, it's a religious preacher kind of thing, and, you know, and he's trying to be a good brother-in-law and all that. And finally he said, I'm tried, God, it's over. I'm tried. So for years went by, and he wasn't, you know, I tried, God. But he got into Matthew 18.
Wow.
And dug deeper.
Hallelujah.
See, if we got to grow in some areas, say grow in some areas. Or else we don't tap in more of that abundant life. So between you and your brother, you and him alone, and you have gained your brother. Look at verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. I can see him doing like I'm doing. Seven times? Now, it's powerful because what he had to appreciate the seven times, as Jewish people taught by the rabbis, the understanding they had was that God only forgave up to maybe three to four times, based on how he would judge a nation in the after the fourth generation. And so, and that's based on Amos. It's powerful. He talks about it in his book. And so in Peter, he's saying, I'm going to be generous. Up to seven times I'll forgive my brother. And Jesus responded to that. Sometimes we have like, you got one three times, and I said, brother, you out of off my list. That's not God. See, it may be part of your culture, part of how your family operated. It's not God's way. Amen. There's gain for you in somebody's life by restoration. The whole premise of what God did in sending Jesus was the ministry of reconciliation of man back to him. And we're not going to act that way? Act that way? And reconcile folk who hated you, said bad things against you. I know I act like a devil when I was, because I was a devil. Okay, I wasn't saved. And God pulled out the red carpet on me. And forgave me like it forgave you. And so that was kind of Peter's context. He's really kind of saying, well, you know what, Jesus, you know, I give, it's okay if I give my brother seven times. Then verse 21, then verse 22. Jesus said unto him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Jesus, that's 490 times he offends you and you forgive him. Now I'm thinking how some folks are thinking, maybe some of you are watching online. I'm going to start counting. I'm going to get that 491, you out of my life, okay? But see, you got to look at it deeper. Can't look at the surface. That's not what Jesus is saying at all. He's saying this. Jesus is saying, stop counting, Peter. Say, stop counting, Peter. Say, stop counting, Peter.
Stop counting, Peter.
Tell somebody next to you, stop counting. That's the point. Why? How can I do that humanly possible? You got to be grateful. You got to recognize what God did for you. Amen. And how he saved your life when we were just a wretch. Some of us, maybe you don't think he was that bad. Okay, I get it. But I was bad. I didn't feel good about myself, what I was doing to people. I don't want to be that way, but I was doing it. I was in sin. And I tell you, when I got saved, I say it this way. I got saved.
Amen.
I never been a backslider, didn't go back. I said, God, you're good. I learned that you're good. I'm walking with you all the way. Whatever it takes, I'm going all the way with you, God.
Amen.
Not that I've been perfect, have arrived, but I look back. Yeah, I got Brenda out of my phone book, too. Stop calling her. Because she wasn't good for me. She said, you'll be back. I said, I ain't back. I ain't coming back. Hey, man, not coming back. It's the grateful heart. And then you work with people. You explain to them. You don't just let them do the same dumb thing all the time. It hurts you. Just say, well, hold up. Can we talk about this? Work it out. Love. See, people don't realize sometimes, one time, probably should do it again, I guess. It was during communion. Finally, I got a little brave, and I said, okay, I got on my knees like this. And I said, if anybody feel like I've offended you, they're in the balcony and all that. I said, come. I'm thinking about maybe three or four people. I was down here about 20 minutes, y'all. Long line. There were people, you remember that? Yeah. Were you in line? were you in line? You in line too? I didn't know I offended them. I had no idea they were mad at me. What you in line for? But it was such a breakthrough. It was such a breakthrough. Oftentimes, folks want you to just meet them halfway at least, and I'll take some ownership of this. I'm sorry you misunderstood me. Even though you're saying the right thing, I'm sorry I had the wrong tone. I'm sorry for hurting your heart. I'm sorry that the relationship not what it used to be. I'm sorry. God. And sometimes when you go through all that, they still don't receive it. That's okay. Love them anyway. Because love never fails. Oh, yeah, yeah. Keep loving. Love is a seed. Keep loving people. But as we, but to enjoy this abundant life, it requires people in our lives. And our kids, too. You know you're going to need them when you get older. Amen. It's time for them to start paying some time. Amen. But if we cut them folk off, I haven't talked to your daughter and son in years. What's up with this? Well, they can't God disrespect me. Come on. You got to see the bigger picture, the kingdom, the purpose, because it impacts your legacy. And they see, well, that's why mama handled business. I'm going to do the same thing, and that wasn't good. Let's do it God's way. Say God's way. Wrapping up here. The abundant life Jesus promised requires us to fully embrace the spirit of forgiveness. Say the spirit of forgiveness. Fully embrace. We'll talk more about that. In fact, next week I'm going to talk about this is sobering and biblically. How Judas got to where he was and betrayed Jesus, betrayed someone he was close to. I'll reference the book then. It's called The Bait of Satan. We take the bait, hook, line, and sinker, and stay offended. And that can cause betrayal in relationships because you let it grow. The Bible says don't let the sun go down your wrath. Amen. Deal with it quickly. Right. I'll talk about how John the Baptist, who was God's man, lost his head. Yeah. He was offended. I'm going to show you chapter and verse. Jesus told his disciples, he began to question Jesus. But he grew up with him. He knew who he was. He was the one that said, the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world. He knew who he was. But after a while, he began to send his boys and said, well, go tell Jesus, he's the one we should be looking for, or should we look for another? You know, come on. What's up with that? And then Jesus says, go tell John, blessed is he who's not offended in me. We're going to talk about it. The spirit of forgiveness. Because this abundant life, you can put it on the shelf if we don't deal with this. Yes. Yeah. Stuff happened in our child life. It wasn't right, wrong. You got to forgive them, y'all. I mean, you don't have to, but it's to your best interest. Yes. That's my point. To your best interest. Jesus said, I came to heal the broken heart. Yes. And one of the easiest ways is just let it go. God, you're my source. I know I got a little dysfunction behind them, but you know what? You can heal my dysfunction. You can heal my mind and how I do stuff if you look to him. That's what the word will do.